Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, we'll be taking a look at modern love and romance from a faith-based perspective. I'll be talking with Monica Gabriel, the relationships editor at Verily Magazine, about dating advice for singles, why many young adults are choosing not to get married, making room for God in your relationships, and much more. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Since we are in the season of Valentine's Day, today's topic is going to be love. How to find it, what to do once you have found it, and what role God can and should play in your relationship. Joining me to share her insights will be Monica Gabriel, who works as the relationships editor for Verily Magazine. Monica has been doing that job for several years now, and when she started, she was a single, unattached young woman herself. Now she's days away from getting married, so she's going to tell us what she's learned along the way that can help you find or improve your relationship. Now I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Monica Gabriel. Monica, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Now, I just mentioned you're the relationships editor for Verily Magazine. The website is verilymag.com, and I know you've dispensed a lot of wisdom in your articles over the last several years, but where did that wisdom come from? Is your own life partial fodder, at least, for some of the insights you share?
Oh, it's 99.9% of the fodder. especially, I mean, I got started writing a blog before Verily really launched. And yeah, most of it is based off of mistakes that I've made. And what was really helpful was actually the process of writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Making mistakes and then being able to take the time and reflect on what it is that I did wrong. Why did I do that thing? What do I want? And what was really interesting was as I started to write about that, I discovered that the experiences that I had were really quite universal. They were not unique. So mm-hmm. many women experienced the same mistakes, had the same questions. So it was really affirming to hear people connect to that, but to also know that I wasn't alone in making these mistakes. So it's easy to come up with content that relates to readers when they're going through the same things that you are.
Sure, sure. Well, when you started Verily, you were a single, unattached woman, and now you are literally days away from getting married. So it sounds like the writing you did was helpful to you following your own path to marriage. Did it force you to follow your own advice by putting it out there to the world?
Yes. For sure. I think at the point that I was writing, I wanted to be an authentic woman. Mm-hmm. I realized that maybe in the past I hadn't been. So already the intention was there. I wanted to do my best. I wanted to have healthy relationships. It was convenient or providential that at the time I also had friends who held me to, you know, it wasn't just me holding myself to what I wrote. It was mm-hmm. friends who were really supporting me and being the kind of woman that I wanted to be as well, and
right.
family. So my family definitely poked fun at me sometimes, like, oh, I think you wrote an article about that, Monica. So, yeah, I definitely had some positive peer pressure to stick to that.
Well, good. I'm talking to Monica Gabriel. She's the relationships editor for Verily Magazine. Now, in case people aren't familiar with Verily, just tell us a little bit about the magazine and the approach it takes.
Sure. So Verily is a women's magazine, lifestyle, relationships, culture, style. We are a non-religiously affiliated magazine, but a lot of the women who are on staff are Catholic. But basically, our mission is to present an authentic vision of woman today, to really talk about what's important to her and to encourage her to be the woman that she wants to be in the modern world today. So that is essentially our aim and goal.
Sure, sure. And I've had Kara and Janet on years ago when they first founded, and I'm just happy to keep supporting the magazine because you all really are doing good work and impacting the wider culture, not just you're impacting the Catholic culture, but also I think the wider culture with people being drawn to your articles about faith and values and all these different topics. So kudos to all of you for doing
yeah.
that.
Well, thank you. It's been so great to have so much support. All of our support really has been very grassroots, and we are growing tremendously right now. And it's actually a very critical time for Verily right now. So while we're on the subject, I'll ask anyone who's listening to please keep us in their prayers. I'm doing a novena to St. Nicholas right now because he helps women out.
Okay.
And we're doing really well, but we need a lot of support right now. So any prayers would be very appreciated.
All right. We will send them your way. And this is the St. Nicholas of Santa Claus fame. Or a different St. Nicholas?
This is Santa Claus.
Yes. Oh, it is Santa Claus. All right. Well, if he can't deliver, then no one can. So that's a good choice.
Yeah.
All right. In my intro, I promised some advice on single life and things like that. So let's move to that topic.
Sure.
What qualities do you think women today generally look for in a man? And are those qualities healthy for building a long-term relationship?
So, yes. Qualities that women are looking for in a man, I would list three.
Mm-hmm.
There's confidence, humility, and height.
Height?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the essential three that I come across as a relationships editor for Verily. But I think what's most important is to understand the reason behind why this criteria is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think for confidence, women want a man who is sure of his direction,
mm-hmm.
who will be a leader, who knows himself, and this means that this is a man that she can trust. And I think these days that man is hard to find. Women are used to meeting men who are unsure of themselves, who are not leaders, especially not leaders in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a good thing, I think, that and a healthy quality that women are looking for in relationships. Humility is closely tied to that. I think it's tied to that because it is an essential characteristic in a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone a woman can trust, but it's also someone a woman can be vulnerable to.
Mm-hmm.
A humble man is also a man of faith, usually. He's a man that leans on God
mm-hmm.
for his strength. And this is something that I think a lot of Christian women especially are looking for in a man, because a man who is humble, who turns to God when he needs strength, is a man who moves mountains for their relationship, for their family. That's a man she can trust.
Sure.
And the height thing, we've written about this. I do think that also connects to the confidence
mm-hmm.
issue. I think height is a symbol of confidence. I think it's a symbol of confidence universally. Men and women see height as a sign of confidence, but this is a mistake to assume that a man who is short is not confident. In fact, I can list many a man who tower over the typical 6-foot men in character and
mm-hmm.
confidence. So I would encourage women to take that with a grain of salt. Know why she is looking for height. It's probably
mm-hmm.
just a symbol that she's kind of drawn to, but to kind of put that aside when she's discerning who she should date would be a good idea.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking with Monica Gabriel. She's the relationships editor of Verily Magazine. Their website is verilymag.com. She was also the co-host of SiriusXM's Catching Up with Kara and Monica, for people who remember that show. Now, in one recent article, you point out that fewer young adults today are choosing to get married. What accounts for that trend?
This is tricky. I would say that I see two things that are accounting to this trend. The first one is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women today have watched our parents' marriages suffer
mm-hmm.
and fail. They've seen unhappy marriages. They see unhappy relationships in general, discord between men and women, and this is really scary. We don't want this to happen to us.
Right.
And the second thing is selfishness.
Okay.
This is something that's been bred by the hookup culture, as you may guess. Marriage is about making yourself a gift to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us who have been living the hookup mentality, or even just digesting the dating advice and behaviors that are around us that are very influenced by this selfish hookup mentality,
mm-hmm.
have forgotten that we were made to be a gift, and have for a long time been practicing dating behaviors that primarily look out for themselves, and train their minds to look at, you know, what they can get from the opposite sex as far as, rather than what they can contribute and give.
Okay.
And we're just largely feel very unprepared for the sacrifice of marriage.
Okay. Well, why do you think young people should reconsider that decision not to make a lifelong commitment? What are the benefits that they might be forgetting or not even aware of, considering they may come from a broken home?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, I think, I know marriage is a vocation. And if it's your vocation, if marital union is how God is calling you to be holy and get to heaven, getting to heaven is going to be really hard without embracing that vocation.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not a vocations director, but from what I understand, you know, some of us are called to priesthood and religious life. Some are called to single life. But the majority of us are called to the lifelong commitment of marriage. So I think one thing to keep in mind is to be open to what it is that God has planned for us. And remember that marriage is not supposed to be easy, but it's going to be a whole lot easier if God has intended you to get married and to get to heaven with another person, to
mm-hmm.
go ahead and take that challenge and join up with another person and use that union to get to heaven, and really trust him. It's scary, but that is your path. If you believe that that's your vocation, then you better go ahead and do it.
Okay. I'm talking to Monica Gabriel. She's the relationships editor of Verily Magazine. The website is verilymag.com. Now, you've mentioned God a few times in this, and I saw the movie Brooklyn recently, which takes place in the 1950s, and the way in that movie, the way men and women met was mm-hmm. at the weekly Saturday night church dance. And I don't know that there is a lot of those going on still today. Maybe there are, but how do modern singles meet each other, do you think, especially when faith is important to that person's life?
So I think largely the modern single person meets people, as in someone of romantic interest, online.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Not the majority. A lot of people do meet someone online. But when you're talking about meeting someone, like that special someone that you could potentially marry,
mm-hmm.
most people still meet that person in person through mutual friends.
Okay.
And I think that's one thing I struggle with as a relationships editor. Obviously, I encourage our readers to be open to social media and to dating apps and online dating, and I think that's a great vehicle to meet people. But I think more of us need to socialize.
Okay.
To get out there and, you know, church dances would be great. I think there's fewer of those. But I think letting our separate social circles blend together a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people have this experience, but growing up and even now, I have my friends that I met in high school, my college friends, my New York City friends, and it's taken me a long time to get those groups of friends to merge together. But what happens, I recently had a dinner party and I invited a bunch of different friends from different phases of my life, and there's been one date out of that, and they're still dating now. People they wouldn't have met if I hadn't introduced them.
Okay.
So I think more people should just be more proactive about not being afraid to have their friends meet their friends, and to just have fun out in the world.
And away from our screens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
I'm talking to Monica Gabriel about modern love and romance. She's the relationships editor of Verily Magazine. Staying with the God factor, I think it was Fulton Sheen who said that God needs to be the third person in every marriage. But does that hold true also in the dating and engagement period? Again, from your own experience as a Catholic who is getting married soon.
Mm-hmm. So I spent a really long time being single, actually. I went on a fair bit of dates, but from the time I graduated from college until I met Joe about a year and a half ago, I had no boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But what this meant for me was that this was a time that I was really able to nourish myself on the teachings of the church.
Okay.
And most especially the mysteries that she uncovers for us on who I am as a person, as a woman, as a member of the world. And I find that when I was single, my relationship with Christ was so wonderfully childlike. Mm-hmm. He was who I ran to when I was lonely and when I was afraid. And that was really a gift. And I miss that now, because what has happened now that I'm engaged is that I now have someone that I can run to in here, in the physical. Joe is someone I can come to when I'm lonely, when I'm afraid. And I've started to drift away from, and I think it's natural, drift away a little bit from going to Christ for my needs. But I need to change that. And, you know, being very filled by a person in engagement, especially as you're preparing to marry, is good. But I need to return to this intimate relationship with Christ. And one thing that I think was really helpful to hear, and maybe it would be helpful to others as well, from a priest who was preparing Joe and I for pre-Cana, I was telling him about this, and he was saying, you know, this ability to be so natural and intimate with Christ is actually a gift that women tend to possess a bit more easily than men.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way this kind of played into my relationship and engagement now, and I think very much as once I enter into marriage, is learning how to share that gift with my husband.
Okay.
And it means that I need to go back to that childlike relationship with Christ and really force myself, even though I have Joe there, to turn to him in these very, you know, physical and emotional needs, and help my husband to grow in that area too, show him how to be close to Christ in this feminine way that I'm able to reach out to him. So
that's
been an interesting faith development in single life and now in engagement.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Monica Gabriel from Verily Magazine. If you have any questions for Monica that you'd like me to pass on, send them to radio@christophers.org, and I'll be happy to send them along to Monica. You just mentioned popular articles on Verily, and when I was looking through your articles the other day, I saw that one of the most popular, with over 33,000 shares, was one titled, "The Wisest Advice My Mom Ever Gave Me About Love." So, in a world where young people often think they know better than their parents, why do you think that piece struck a chord with so many people?
Good question. I was surprised that did super well, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think what was interesting about that was that piece was actually that I think readers may have gone into it expecting traditional advice,
mm-hmm.
that didn't really relate to them, because I think we often believe that our parents have nothing for us to offer in the modern dating world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what was surprising from that piece was how on point my mom was with dating advice, how simple and relevant her advice, probably based off of her own dating experience, was to me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's just a very wise woman, so.
Well, what is some of that wise advice? You know, talk about one or two things.
So one of the things that I think struck a chord with a lot of people was the advice about not judging a guy. I think, I don't have the article in front of me, but it was about comparing a man to a dress on a hanger.
Okay, yes.
I believe. And the advice there was, you know, sometimes when women go shopping, the dress is the most trendy dress is the dress that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hanging there, it's super chic, all the other women want it. But upon trying it on, it is just not good for your body type.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many ways, that's how dating can be for women. It's kind of like the height thing, too.
okay.
But we see this guy who's attractive. All the women want him. And I think men can do this, too. And that's the person that they want to set their eyes on. And maybe they try on the dress and they just want to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. we're all very unique and have unique shapes and sizes. And you need to be okay with that. And meeting the person who fits you right takes a little bit of digging around and trying things on.
Sure, sure. Well, one of the other points of advice in that, and you write about the fact that your parents complement each other, that they, you know, they make up for each other's differences. But
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, have you found that Is there a point of opposites attract that can be too opposite, that can stand in the way of a long-term relationship? Do certain fundamental things, at least, do they need to have in common?
Yes. I would say, I'm working on an article about this right now. Dr. John Gottman has done a lot of research about what makes a happy, stable couple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's just so many different kinds of happy, stable couples. But what he found was that couples that are the happiest and most stable have one thing in common, and that is positivity.
Okay.
And that they're able to store up more positive feedback and positive feelings than negative feelings. So when difficult times come, those positive feelings are there to support them and to make them feel loved, and it's something that really strengthens their relationship. So I think when you're in a relationship where your personalities sort of clash, that's one thing that you need to pay attention to is, you know, especially when dealing with conflict, is the focus a positive one. You know, you could be two people who go at each other like cats and dogs, but at the end of the day, if that's, you kind of enjoy that back and forth and you're still able to affirm each other, make each other feel supportive and loved,
yeah,
then I would say that relationship's okay. If you can't do that, then maybe it's a problem.
Okay. So it's important to build each other up in the good times, and that will kind of help, you know, put some money in the bank, so to speak, for the difficult times.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm talking to Monica Gabriel. She's the relationships editor for Verily Magazine. The website is verilymag.com. I want to touch on your recent article about announcing your engagement on Facebook, because I found it interesting that you really put an emphasis on this idea of community in the lead up to your wedding, and also how it's going to affect your approach to married life. Why have you found community to be so important in this process?
I think a lot of people can begin to think that marriage is an island,
mm-hmm,
I guess is the best way to say it. But I think what most married couples will tell you is that this is very much untrue, and that it's those around you who support you in the difficult times of your marriage. And they're also the people who get you to marriage. I know looking at my own life, all of my friends, all those people who were just so ecstatic that I got engaged were the people who were teaching me how to love.
Mm-hmm.
And they will continue to teach me how to love. As I'm married and I run across issues and I don't know how to talk to Joe about something, I'll run to my mom, or I'll run to my sisters, or I'll run to my friends, maybe even a counselor. But it's all those people who are rooting for your marriage,
mm-hmm,
that help your marriage grow and thrive.
Right.
Obviously, there's certain boundaries that you need to place around your marriage to protect it from influences, especially influences from the outside. But
mm-hmm,
it's just, marriage is so important to our communities. And I think that's something that we really need to remember.
Sure, sure. Well, in our final couple of minutes, let me ask you this. In case, if there's someone listening and, you know, they're thinking they'd like to meet somebody, but they don't know where to start or what to do, do you have any just kind of basic advice on what that person should do? Maybe dating advice they should ignore and advice they should follow instead?
Yeah. So I would say that someone who's starting from scratch really wants to meet someone. Well, no one's really starting from scratch. But what I would encourage them to do is to, I don't think they need to hold off on dating while they get to know themselves, but I do think that they need to take some time to take a personality test, to really understand, to really ask themselves what it is they want, why they want it.
Mm-hmm.
I think our intentions going into dating is really important. And then put themselves out there. And I know that's the most annoying thing for people to hear, because you're out there. You're going to work. I'm talking to my friends. What do I need to do? Like,
mm-hmm,
dangle myself over a building? No. But be intentional about the way you spend your time. And this is not to be, to use your friends, but don't spend all of your time one-on-one with your best girlfriend or guy friend in your apartment watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there, try new things, try new experiences. This helps you stay positive, A, when you're trying to meet someone, because you're growing, you're enjoying yourself, but it also puts you in a position to meet new friends, and hopefully someone who you might be able to marry one day. And also, I would reach out to close friends and family that you admire and you trust, and tell them that you want to meet someone, and to come up with a list of people to introduce you to and have them set you up on a date.
Well, that sounds like good, very basic steps. And I'm just going to, going back to years ago, you wrote a Valentine's Day column about, you know, being alone on Valentine's Day. And you wrote the line, "Bitterness only makes a person happy when it comes in the form of baking chocolate." I still love that line. And basically, it kind of follows up the positive advice you've been giving now to take a positive approach to move forward and meet other people. So So I think you've been consistent throughout your writing career. And Monica, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today on the show. The website, again, is verilymag.com. I've been talking to Monica Gabriel, the relationships editor there. Go to the website, look up her columns, and you're going to find a lot of good information about life, love, faith, and everything in between. So Monica, thanks so much for sharing your insights today. And good luck and God bless with everything in your marriage.
My pleasure. Take care, Tony.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Though making friends on social media is popular nowadays, real-world relationships are vital to your spiritual well-being. You need to establish friendships that go beyond superficial interests, ones that create bonds to touch your soul. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Building Spiritual Friendships. It shares vital insights about finding companions for your spiritual journey who will stick with you through highs and lows, good times and bad, from here to eternity. To request your free copy of Building Spiritual Friendships, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.